We're going to be speaking now with Lance Robert. He is with the group Celebration of Our Mountains, and they have a number of events that are coming up. Lance, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So why don't we start by just asking you to explain for people who aren't familiar with the group, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to start by saying that this group has been sort of loosely together since, I think, 1994, back when a guy, Phil, a professor over at University at UTEP, started this group back then. And essentially, it was a kind of a club in the beginning to get people outdoors in the mountains, enjoying the mountains, and mostly focused on geology at the time. He was a geology professor at UTEP. And I found this group when I lived here back in 2000. I was working on a project at the refinery, at the time Chevron Refinery, and found these group. Since I'm a geologist, I joined them, and we used to go out, I think, once a year. They'd plan 2 or 3 weeks of trips and volcanoes and mountains and focused on geology. So I joined them back then. And then I came back into town after I retired about 3 years ago and found the group. And they asked me to be the president of the board there. So that's what I'm doing now.
Excellent. Yeah. And now you've got some activities planned?
Yeah. So our spring, we're trying to do a program of events. We're, you know, with the weather here, we decided that spring and fall were the best times to get out in the mountains, of course.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, from the heat and sometimes the cold. So we're doing right now a spring program in April and March and April, really. And I've got a number of events. They're all available to see on our website. Celebration of Our Mountains El Paso is the best way to find that on the internet. If you just do a search for that, you can find it. And we do everything from rock hound trips to, you know, going to taking people to gym shows. We went to the TRC gym show recently. We do yoga outdoors. We do rock climbing. You know, anything that's gets people outside, yes, and enjoying the mountains.
You have brought in a little bit of show and tell, and this is where I always feel, you know, jealous of television, where they could show people what you brought. But it's a very interesting looking rock,
full of crystals, broken open. The rock looks ordinary on the outside, and then it's been busted.
It is kind of boring when you look at the back of it.
Correct.
But
yeah.
So I like to bring a rock. Just I'm a geologist, so I have a million in my house. Of course, I just picked one up on the way out, and they're usually a conversation piece.
Yes.
In fact, the one you're looking at is probably was found only maybe 10, 15 miles from here.
Okay.
And it is basically a geode in a volcanic deposit just on the west side of the Robledos. Yeah.
Tell us a little what about the geology of this area and what makes it so unique. I assume everything dates back to it used to be a seabed, didn't it?
Well, it depends on how far back you want to go.
I was going to say, yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize perhaps how diverse and interesting the geology in this area is. It's as world class as any place I've ever been in terms of the diversity and the exposures. So I did grad school in Tennessee, for example, and there's just plants everywhere, unfortunately, all over the rocks, right? So in
harder
El Paso,
to discover them then.
It is. It is much harder.
That and makes you can, sense because it's so wet there.
Exactly. And the beauty here is that the geology is great, but you can also see it and walk on it and experience it a lot easier than you can in areas that are not in the desert. But you're right that there's probably two main episodes of when this area in particular was under the seafloor. And back in the early Paleozoic and the Ordovician, there's a whole bunch of limestone piled up that you see in most of the mountain ranges here. And then in the Cretaceous, there's a Cretaceous seaway, which is quite a bit younger, at about 60 million years. The whole interior of the central part of the U.S. was covered in a shallow ocean all the way up from, say, Mexico through to Canada. So there's a lot of those rocks around as well.
How much of what you're doing both here and in Texas is on, I mean, you get a little bit into politics here, but is on public lands? And, you know, can you talk a little bit about the importance of preserving public lands?
Good question. You know, I'd say the first thing that comes to mind is the difference between Texas and New Mexico. And we're blessed to be. I live in El Paso, and our group's out of El Paso, but primarily we're doing trips in New Mexico. For what reason? Because there's a lot of public land.
Yeah.
And there's almost none in Texas. So when we go to – we do a few things at Texas, mainly around the state parks or the national parks. And, you know, Franklin Mountains obviously is in our backyard, and it's – we're so fortunate to have that available there. So we do quite a bit of things in that park. But Texas is harder, and I really have to say that you know, the joys of being around all the public land in New Mexico is really a blessing.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the events that you have coming up. This one kind of caught my eye. April 16th. The name of it is Who's Running Around the Desert at Night?
Yeah.
So who is running around the desert at night?
That's one of our staple trips that a fellow named Paul Hyder is a PhD, and I think he's into insects and critters and plants as well. Uh-huh. So he knows everything that you'd ever see on the desert floor, and he runs this trip at night to take people out and explore the things that come out.
Yes.
After the sun sets. So this is a popular trip. We do almost probably twice a year we do it.
And where do you do it? I know White Sands is something like that, don't they?
They do, but Paul runs his out at the park right out on Trans Mountain Road in El Paso.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes.
Mhm. State park there. So so that's that one, and we get a lot of obviously, we get a lot of children on that one, believe it or not. And
that's great.
Yeah.
How did you get interested in rocks? I mean, that seems like a. How did you become a geologist? Were you always? I had a roommate in college who would drive me crazy because every time we drive by a formation, you know, well, that's an igneous. Nobody cares.
Right.
So, but obviously he cared.
He did.
And obviously you care. What drew you to that?
I think I was that same guy.
Yeah.
I went to college. Well, back up even further. You know, I did the egg carton rock collection when I was a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
And I was always picking up bones and whatever. And I went to college thinking I was going to do sound studio and photography. And then I took a geology class, Intro to Geology, and this teacher was just fabulous. And I took that, and it just blew my mind. I had no geology up to that point. And I immediately changed my major and never looked back. I mean, and my initial commercial direction was to go and work for the oil companies, in which I did, and I got some fabulous training. Mm-hmm. Probably learned more there than I would have in years and years of education at school. But so I worked in the petroleum industry for a little while, and then went into an environmental consulting career.
Right.
But rocks and things and mountains have always just been
outside. To get a job where you could be outside.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Tramping around. That sounds wonderful.
Should remind people again, the name of your organization is Celebration of Our Mountains. And with that, you have, as I guess, three of your main goals: to explore, to educate, and to inspire. And obviously, I assume you're working with all generations trying to make those things happen.
That is true. And, you know, I think one of the things we have is, you know, you can see our program of events. It's it's some hikes and things outdoors, but we try to always bring in a level of education about it. We don't just do a hike and walk across the desert. We have someone leading all of our events that are knowledgeable about what they're doing, and so we bring that. We're trying to get, especially when you get kids out and you get them to get interested, the inspiration part about science.
Yes.
So the education part, I think, is what might separate us from just pure hiking groups.
Right.
Yeah.
There's such wonderful geology. I remember years ago climbing through these caves up in the Franklins that are like the entryway is almost vertical, and then you just don't expect to have caves you can explore in the Franklin Mountains.
That's true. And there's mines, there's caves, we got volcanoes. You know, a lot of people don't know there's volcanoes within 30-minute drive from here, and there's hundreds of them west of here.
So I was thinking of Kilbourne Hole, but
there's
than that
too.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Everybody knows Kilbourne, and we do a trip there usually twice a year, and that's a popular hit trip as well.
I think we're fortunate to be in such a beautiful and diverse area.
It's what I think you're right, and I think it's unappreciated, perhaps,
yeah.
And that's what that's part of our mission, is just to get people to appreciate what's...
You know, and I will put in a pitch for people in their 70s to come on your activities, because I think this is what keeps your spirits up. This is what keeps you active, keeps your knees moving.
It's true, and we cater to that group. Probably half, I guess, of our trips are you know, not hard, and they're suitable for either young kids or older folks. Some of the rock hounding that I like to do, largely senior people come out, and we find ways to accommodate and pick up some cool rocks and learn geology.
Yeah.
What do you look for? I went with a friend to Rockhound State Park, but I had no idea what I was looking for.
So you should go with them.
Yeah, how do I get rich?
Know.
That's my real question.
You
how do I find the, well, like what
go
you
to
have
their
here?
Website.
You
reports.
Join us, and we
you
show
go.
You where to go. But, I mean, I study geologic maps just like anybody would do a road map or whatever, and I'm always looking at papers or geologic maps, and then I find something that looks interesting, and then I go out and scout it out, and sometimes we turn it into a trip. So I'm out scouting all the time.
Is it a large group that you work with, the one in El Paso?
The organization itself is pretty small. We're four of us are on the board of directors, and we have a advisory board of about another five, so we're around 10 people. And our events, this is our challenge, is getting people knowledgeable about what we're doing.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'll get five people, and sometimes we'll get 30 on our trips. It's really hard to predict. Yeah.
Well, we are down to our last minute. We've been talking with Lance Robert, and you have got all kinds of interesting trips and events coming up. Just remind people one more time where they can go to look at the whole list and find out more about your organization.
So we've got a cool little flip book you can get on our website. If you just go onto your search engine and type Celebration of Our Mountains El Paso, you can find our website, and when you can on the front page is our spring calendar, and we got trips pretty much every weekend through March and April,
and then again in the fall.
And then again in the fall, we do that twice a year, every year.
Yeah.
Well, I apologize for having to cut this off a little bit sooner than I thought we would. We ended up double booking the half hours, but it's been great meeting you, and we could like to bring you back on in the fall when you come back again, and we can spend more time with this, because we certainly treasure the same things that you're trying to preserve and protect here.
For all the people in southern New Mexico and in this area, you know, I encourage to look up and come join us, because there's a lot of stuff to do just nearby.